Good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the known world listening to this live or on podcast. We want to thank you for joining us for another edition of Synergy. Again, where we have talks about consciousness, spirituality, religion, life, lifestyle, health, wellness, community, race, culture, and everything else in between. I'm Dr. Keelan Hinton. We have here, as always, the great Superman, Pastor Joe Hill.
Yeah, okay.
He's going to give us a hello.
How's everybody doing this morning?
And we have a special guest today who's going to chime in, and hopefully, if he enjoys it, he will choose to come back and hang out with us a little bit more. Mr. Jason Moore.
How you doing?
All right. So again, as always, we like to give our disclaimers. Again, any of the perspective views, comments, or suggestions that you hear are not representative of Marshall University, any of its employees, supporters, or affiliates. Any of are not represented by WMUL, any of its supporters, affiliates, sponsors, but are the sole perspectives, ideas, suggestions, and consciousness of myself, Keelan Hinton, Joe Hill, and as well as any of the guests that we have on today, in particular, Mr. Jason Moore. So, let's get started. How's everybody doing today?
Doing all right, man, for all a right, Friday.
All right.
Doing
all right.
All right, so, I was looking at some of our past shows, and Joe, we've been getting into it. Like, we have, I think it's slowly moving and going in a direction and a space and a place that we wanted to. We can hear.
Is it your headphone?
Yeah, it's coming through. You might not go through.
Okay.
But I think that we're slowly getting to a space and a place that, that we wanted to go to. So we've talked about religion. Is religion used? Is it necessary? Has it been used to control people?
Yeah.
We've talked about consciousness. We've talked about levels of consciousness. We've talked about what is God. And then we slowly we've been sort of getting outside of the box. And we started talking about reincarnation. What happens to the soul when we die?
Yeah, we've been everywhere.
we've been everywhere. And then the last time, which was dope, we got into the notion or idea of ethnicity and race.
Yeah.
And culture.
Yeah.
Which was
blackness, blackness and the experience of the soul. Yeah.
So yeah. Moving on, we're going to move on. And we'll build and we'll move on and move forward from that. So where are we going today? What's on your mind for the day?
I was wanting to run back to something, and you mentioned it in the summary of the things we try to cover that we haven't touched on in a while, because we've gotten kind of off into some of the spirituality stuff and kind of thinking wide range about that and religion. But I wanted to come back a little bit to consciousness by way of self-awareness in dialogue with intention, with the ideas of community and culture, because the fact is that usually when you arrive at a sense of self-consciousness that brings you to some sense of self-differentiation, that can bring you into tension, into conflict with your culture, not necessarily ethnically, but your group, whatever your group is, racially, communally, politically, the folks who have offered you belonging and acceptance, sometimes if your own self choices kind of take you outside of their lines potentially, it sets up a conflict. You know, do I potentially betray the group in my own self realization, or do I betray myself in order to keep having a place in the group?
And when you first brought up that topic, it made me think of not just as I started to grow, as I started to evolve and grow and change, it wasn't just black folks that I felt separated from. Like, I felt different from everybody that was around. Like, yeah. I started to see the world different from everybody that was around me.
Right.
Like, it wasn't just black people I couldn't talk to. Now, I think that that's more specific when you get into cultural practices and religion, cultural black stuff. But I just felt like I saw the world. I felt like I couldn't talk to anybody.
Right.
Because
about where you were really at.
My perspective was so different.
Get it.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
nobody gets it. And then especially when you go home and try to talk about some of this stuff.
Right.
You know, it's weird. It's like, it's something that I see with some of my students all the time.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not just with my students. Think about when you learn something new. Naturally, right. when you learn something new, you want to take it back to the tribe.
Right, absolutely. Right.
You want
right.
to take it back to your partners, to your homies. You want to take it back to your family.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, guess what I learned? I learned this, this, and this. And they go, oh, shit, here you come. Okay.
This man
got an ego with his bow tie. Oh, I guess you better than us because you done learned something new. You know
right.
what I'm saying? This is like,
right.
no, I'm trying to help
you. I'm trying to help you. Like, I'm trying to give you, I learned something that I think is important or it was changing me a little bit, and I'm trying to share that with you.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make you better.
Exactly.
It has nothing to do with being better.
Yeah. The question is I understand where I was at. So like, it's like whenever I learn something new, whether it be educational, whether it be spiritual growth and evolution, and I want to take those points back. You want to take it back to the tribe because you want everybody else to grow like you've grown.
Right.
And then when you get shunned or rejected, you kind of like, okay, guess what? Guess we ain't going to tell y'all nothing else.
Right. Right.
I ain't going to tell y'all nothing else. Don't even worry about it.
Right.
You got to worry about hearing my mouth. So now I don't want to tell y'all nothing at all because I don't want the backlash of how you're going to react and respond.
Right.
But the question is, why do they resist?
Yeah.
If I learn something new about religion, or if I learn something, it's just like me. Okay, I told you, I'm from the deep south, if you don't know. I'm from Memphis.
Yeah.
And my folks are from even deeper than that, Mississippi, like right. a part of Mississippi that, bro, you can't even find on a map, okay?
Right.
So when it comes to, I grew up a Christian. I grew up Christianity. I grew up a Christian, been baptized, all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
As I've grown and evolved, the way that I think about spirituality and the way that I think about religion and spirituality and Christianity has changed.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that I just don't believe in the same way that I did
right,
before.
Right,
right.
So when I bring in little different nuances,
yeah.
that maybe it's not me saying all of this is bullshit. That's not me saying that.
Right.
But, I learned that maybe the way that we was taught this in church, it wasn't this way.
Right.
Or maybe the way we was taught, maybe it wasn't this way. Or maybe this is true, but this is just a story or allegory.
Yeah,
or just
maybe
something.
That's not a fact. Maybe it's just an idea. Yeah.
What is the resistance that they have to hearing a different perspective or learning something new? Even if I'm not saying it's wrong.
Right.
Like, I think that it's important to figure out why groups resist change.
Yeah.
And especially black folks and our people. Like, why do we resist change, any kind of change when it comes to religion at all?
Right. You know well, even mean? Not even religion. I mean, you even think about, I mean, look at how crazy various folks who would identify themselves as Democrats are going right now. You got these two very different camps. And everybody stuck in the middle that are all identifying as under kind of a Democrat Party kind of flag, but they got knives out.
Yeah.
And so who is it? But, and who are you to come up in the middle with some kind of rational thought about let's do something in the middle? Shut up.
Right. And I think that's crazy too because people are so wrapped up in this being in a party.
Yeah.
As opposed to being human.
Right.
Like this.
Yeah.
Like.
So you the guy that can't go to the Democratic convention and have a speech. Yeah. Human.
Yeah, because we're people. It's like, this just sounds like the right thing to do for people.
Right.
Not for a political agenda or anything like that. It's just, this is good. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People should have this.
Yeah.
You know, if we're this type of country.
Right.
country that has everything. We have everything, right?
Yeah.
Apparently. But we have so many people that have nothing.
Nothing.
Or close
yeah.
to nothing. And that's just.
Yeah. I like this. Hold on. Let's ride this for a second. I like this idea about people's. I like that idea about people's loyalty and dedication to the group and not ideas.
Yeah, so like, then whatever idea the group puts out, you just, that okay, that's my idea.
I've always said, like, personally, I don't, I have a hard time. I don't have any allegiance to any group. I love people.
Yeah.
Because I understand that as people move in and out of churches, as people move in and out of groups, as people move in and out of spaces,
yeah,
it changed, like, okay, as an example, Marshall.
Yeah.
You know how people have a dying loyalty to Marshall University, okay?
Right.
I understand that the people make Marshall what it is.
Right.
So as administrations change, as people change, it will change the essence of what Marshall means.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a dedication to people, you know what I'm saying? Right. And not necessarily the overall thing.
Yeah.
So I wonder how that translates. Are there parallels? Like, there are people who are dedicated to, like, I know people who, like, the preacher got problems, but they're still dedicated to the church.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm like, as people move in and out, they can change the fundamental essence of what the church is or what the church means. I'm dedicated to people, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I just wonder how many people are dedicated to a religion and not necessarily to the ideology
or any structure
that makes, like, it what it is. You know
whether,
what I'm
whether
that
it's,
makes it what it is that the problem? It's just like, I'm just a Democrat, like you were saying, like, I'm just a Democrat and I'm ride or die Democrat, but like, you got these crooks and criminals coming in,
yeah,
and you continue to ride because you're a Democrat and you're not looking at the people that make
up the party,
what you riding for.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
That really goes with any, just any group of, you know, whether it's employment, whether it's, you know, political, religion, whatever it is, it's these people are representing you, and whatever they say, and you're saying that's cool, that trickles down on you.
That's you,
You know? Yeah.
And there's certain things, it's like, I mean, and it may be because in my little circle or whatever, I've usually been more of a leader, a follower, but it's like, if I don't like it, we're not doing that.
We'll tell you.
Yeah,
you know, and the first thing they say is, "Oh, that's docking them." No, I didn't have anything to do with that.
I do not
condone that behavior. You know,
yeah.
But it's my phone is ringing, and it's so
right.
But that speaks to something else that we talked about before. Is that when we talked about religions and then somehow we got on cults and religions and what makes a religion a cult and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah,
something that we touched on was that what we noticed is that. That's very rare. Like, most people are followers. Most people, the way that people start cults is that cult leaders understand that people have a need to believe in something
and belong.
And belong. And most importantly, is that people are the average person is a follower, and they're not a leader, and they look to be led.
Yeah.
So if you have a sense that you need to believe in something, and you're a follower, and you want to belong to something greater than you.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a part of the reason how and why people get so stuck on the institution, or they get so stuck on the name of what something is, and not necessarily looking at the underpinnings of who's in this, what's happening,
right.
What are they doing, does it still represent my beliefs, and all of this kind of stuff. But I'm sorry, digressing back to what we was talking about, the original question was, how is it that when you bring new information or a new level of consciousness or a new spirituality or a new point of view or a new perspective back to the group that you came from, why do people resist? Why do they hold on? Even though you bring in something new that could be right, like what you're saying could be dead right, why is it that they still hold on to what they got before?
We are... biologically, we always talk about how biology transforms to speaks to or relates to mentality, psychology, spirituality. We are creatures.
And sorry, just a quick pause again. Thank you, Light Seeker and Josh, and those that are entering. For those that are entering the chat box, if you have any questions, comments, suggestions, by all means, please type them in the box. Where we are right now is we're talking about consciousness as we grow and we evolve as individuals. why is the group that we're the groups that we're a part of, why do they resist? Why do they continue to resist sometimes? Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead, John.
Biologically, I think this translates to other aspects of our being. We're homeostatic. Okay. Our bodies work to get to a place that's just level. That's cool. That's where the body wants to stay. You have folks fuss about trying to lose weight because your body, whatever you are, your body is geared, is designed to stay where you're at.
Yeah.
So it takes so much work to shift your body somewhere else. You know, your blood pressure, your fluid levels, everything's trying to stay right here. And I think that translates to our psychology, to our spirituality, that we want to be where we're at and be good where we're at. And we were fine till your dumb buck came back to the group with some new thing to make me think about.
Right.
We were good. We felt like we knew everything we need to know to be cool in this space about whatever we think we are. And then here you come.
Got to reapproach my values or...
Yeah. I just made the bet.
underline, maybe not a fear, but... You know, just don't really want to change.
Well, insecurity. Maybe if people don't want to say fear, insecurity. We get insecure when things aren't stable and steady. When things aren't stable and steady, I think it naturally, maybe as an evolutionary carryover, carries a degree of insecurity.
When you just said that, it made me think about this. I wonder if it's as simple as, and again, for those that are just joining us, why is it that when we grow and evolve and learn something new, it's so hard? Why does the tribe resist? Why does your culture or your tribe or your family or whatever groups you're part of, why do they resist when you bring new information to them? I wonder if it's as simple as, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Well,
don't come to me with all that new stuff.
Yeah.
Because what we got work.
Yeah.
And what we got, it's worked. It's always worked. And it's been working.
Yeah.
So don't come to us with all this new stuff. Like, think about it. If you got a hammer,
right?
If let's say all your life, when there's a nail in the ground, you get a shoe. Let's say you get a shoe.
Yeah.
And you've been knocking, and you say, "Hey, I got something new that'll work." And you're like, "Well, why I want that? This work."
And I'm good at it.
And I learned how to use it.
I'm a master at shoe nailing.
Think how bad you got to be to drive a nail with a shoe.
Right.
I got cred on that.
Yeah.
This dude can drive a nail with a shoe, and here you come. What's something that takes away all my specialness?
I know what I have. Look, here you come with all this stuff. Here you come with all this new age stuff.
Yeah.
But Jesus has always worked for us.
Yeah.
And it hasn't failed us thus far.
But,
and it works for us. So why would I change?
But
we alive. No, yes, it has. Because we alive. We alive. Ain't
we alive.
We here?
Yeah,
look at all that we've gone through and we still here.
Yeah.
Or like Muhammad has worked for, not just Jesus, Muhammad has worked for us. Or this Buddhism thing is worked for us. I know it's worked because I'm sitting here talking to you and I'm alive, ain't I? So obviously it works. So why would I change? Why would I go to something different or something new and take a chance in backsliding or being in a worse situation than I was before?
So here's something that's what's driving the conversation. When I was saying, is it somebody's a preacher question? I'm not questioning Jesus, but the question being, when you make that evaluation, you look at your little circle.
Yeah.
And even in your little circle, you usually ain't really all right because your daughter's out on the street and your granddad was an alcoholic, but you don't talk about that. We're fine.
Right.
But you don't look at the average person, I think, doesn't step back, look at the larger community, the larger world, and say, this thing is so broke up. Clearly, whatever we think we know and whatever we're currently working ain't working for everybody.
Right.
But don't bring that in my door. In my house, we're okay. But I want to talk about that in terms of, like, take for example, a family that's caught up in the dysfunction of alcoholism. I say alcoholism because that tends to, you can be, it seems, now I know Jack about this, you can run longer as a functional alcoholic and tear up your house than you can as any other kind of drug addict.
Right.
Yeah.
But in those houses, everybody knows it's not fine.
Yeah.
But just don't say it. So right. I don't know what that is.
And it's even worse when you are the quote unquote head of the household.
Yeah.
You can't say anything to me. I might be the
exactly
drunk, but I'm taking care of everything.
Right.
You know, you don't pay for anything. No pay, no say. Don't say anything about
and
me.
And so we
though it's not right, you know.
Yeah.
And so I've been that person. Like
a
functional alcoholic. Like everything is taken care of, but every now and then.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I might be off the rails, but you ain't. Shut up.
Right.
Yeah. But then to be that person in the house that stands up in the group and says, hey, guys, something's unhealthy. Everybody knew that. But why is it crisis when someone actually says
addresses it?
Why does mom take the son or the daughter, whoever it is, and say, you know, we don't talk about that. But we're all living it. We're all slogging through it. But once you say, hey, we're knee deep in mud, that's the person that gets the grief.
See,
I
think both of y'all right. But when it comes to spirituality and consciousness, it's not always somebody a drug addict or alcoholic. That's one thing. Spirituality is different because, bro, it's just different. Like, it's just different. It's just different.
Base. That's your baseline. If I'm getting it right, like. How I feel as a person, my spirituality, these things don't really affect my base.
Yeah, like...
Like, if you're a good person...
Yeah.
You know, like, you know how these things, they alter your mind.
Yeah.
But the base, like, if I was to black out, I'm going to just wake up. I'm not going to wake up in jail.
Yeah. Right, do you understand what I'm saying? Right.
But I know people that if they get too far gone, they might... Do something.
Woke up with a knife in the hand.
That's where their base is at. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting. What does that? It wouldn't bring something out in you that isn't already in you.
Right.
Yeah. That's a whole different show. We gotta see. That's when we keep paper.
Because that's that's.
But that's what I'm thinking. Just because you know, it's just how far would this altering, like, you know, whatever, alcohol, whatever it is. How far would this take me off of my base, off of my actual square? You know, my beliefs.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, there's only still so much I'm going to do.
Well, I bring that up because you were saying that you were using the example, for example, spirituality, whatever, that people get upset when the system's working and you say something. My point with using this example is, even the system isn't working, people rarely go, "Oh man, you showed us the light. Let's all try."
Okay, so the question is, let's say my spiritual, that my spirituality or my consciousness isn't working.
Yeah.
And you bring me something new, why won't I change? Well, the reason that it's not working, the system teaches me it's because of me. I'm not praying hard enough.
Yeah.
I'm not trying hard enough. It's something that I did years ago that's catching up with me now.
Right.
So it's never the hustle of the system. And again, for those listening, we're not just talking about Christianity. We're talking about all systems.
Yeah.
A lot of the hustle of a lot of the system is when something goes good, God gave it to you, or your spiritual belief or your spiritual system gave it to you.
Yeah.
But when something goes bad, it's because of you.
Yeah. Well, that's
like,
even,
think about it. When you get something good, they say, thank God, because he blessed you. But when something go bad, they say, what did you do wrong? So, like, I think that line of thinking in a lot of spiritual teachings, even though it's going bad, it's kind of like one of the questions that we ask that we still got to go back to is... God and slavery.
Yeah.
Okay, well, why did God watch slavery? Okay, why did God sit and watch slavery and Holocaust happen, right? If you're all powerful. So we talked about the nature of God, and that doesn't mean it's not a God. Maybe God, whatever God is, or whatever the universe is, made us, and he or she or it or whatever it is just is hands off.
Right.
That doesn't mean it don't exist. Maybe it's just hands off, and it just lets us deal with...
Well, come back.
Deal with our thing. But, yeah, sorry. But, forgot my point.
Everybody talking about that again. We had to flesh it out. We were talking about the system, and you were saying
how
we never blame the system when there's misfortune. If there's misfortune, it's on you. If it goes great, it's the system works.
But my example was slavery.
Yeah.
So people say, well, the reason you was enslaved because y'all was worshiping idol gods. So, like, it's always something. It's always something that when something bad happens, you blame the people. But when something good happens, you know, your system or your belief or your God did it for you. So I think that when you bring something new, some new level of consciousness, you've had some sort of evolution or some new level of consciousness, and you want to take it back to your tribe, to your family, to your people, a part of it is one, our system, the reason that I don't think about my system not working is everything that's gone wrong in my life is not because of my system or my God. It's my because fault. Of me.
That's
it's
what
because
the system I'm a sinner. Yeah.
It's because I've transgressed. It's because of the things that I've done. Yeah. So I know my system worked because we can think of ideas of people who've gotten sick and who've healed or whatever.
But even work that economically. You make it in America, it's the American way. Capitalism works.
Yeah.
Right. Market crash, you lose your job, whatever, and you're homeless 2 weeks later. You should have tried harder. You should have diversified your skills.
You made bad choices, or you didn't try hard.
You got the wrong degree, or it's there's some reason on you that you're homeless, and so this makes me think of something else we can't do today. But the way that we tend to apply a religious way of thinking to every system, we put faith in systems. We put faith in a college, faith in economics, faith in a party. What is different show, we make it to it today, but what is that natural reflex for us? We get religious about everything as far as putting your faith in something, as far as trusting a
if
system.
That's where you go.
But culturally, you see folks do that.
Yeah.
They pledge allegiance to the market.
Just
they pledge
like
allegiance
you
to the,
about,
yeah.
You know, when it goes good, it's like, ain't God good, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You see this person, they were in school for 8 years.
Yeah.
Like they worked two jobs, went to school, you know, and they did all of this stuff to have the credentials to get this quote-unquote blessing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Right.
This quote-unquote
right.
blessing. And I'm just saying it's just because it wasn't, you know, if I find $20 on the ground, now that's a blessing to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean?
Yeah.
But if I'm working hard for something,
right.
that is a goal that I attained, that I reached.
Yeah.
You know, mainly off of my own credibility.
You know what? The part of the issue is this, is that we're taught to look externally for validation.
Yeah.
Everything that, like, we're not taught.
You're about to bump into my slavery idea.
Like,
go ahead and say it first.
I just think that we are taught that we are not taught to look within ourselves for answers. We're taught to look everywhere but within ourselves and within our own consciousness.
The whole education
for the answers.
System sets that
we
up.
Are not taught that we are not taught that this is my belief. If there is a God or the universe or whatever you want to call it, I believe that whatever put us here or has us here will not put us here to beg.
Right.
Now, this is me. And when I say that, I mean this. Whatever it is, I think that whatever it is gave us all the physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual tools to manifest whatever we want to manifest in this life.
Yeah.
Okay?
So, eight years of work.
I think that just like whatever it is spoke and made the universe, I think that we all have that same power to make. Now, maybe we don't know how to tap into it.
Yeah.
But I think that we all have the power. I think your words have power. You have the power to speak and manifest what you want in this lifetime.
Yeah.
So the notion or idea that when I look for power, when I look for spiritual power, or when I look for answers, I look within myself because I know that it is it like
yeah.
That's
it is in me.
Are.
Like
yeah.
how are you like how are you failing biology and your body do it? That's just how I think about things.
Right.
Now
right.
that consciousness,
you should be an expert at that.
English.
Right.
You still
so like
it, don't you?
Getting to that level of consciousness is somewhere that I need to. Maybe I need to meditate.
Yeah.
Now all these, I think that all of these spiritual philosophies have these tools and techniques to teach you to sort of unlock these sort of levels of consciousness within you so you can do all this kind
right.
of stuff. But I think the issue or problem is that we look externally for all the answers. We look externally for somebody to save us.
Yeah.
When something happens, we say, God, please make it happen, make it work. We don't look within ourselves
and say, what do I need to do? Or we say Joe Biden or Bernie or Trump, make it work.
We always look into somebody else, and we're taught to look for validation from other people.
Yeah.
And we're taught, you know, you ain't smart until some school tell you you smart.
Yeah.
You ain't blessed
when
until
you get
the preacher
the A
tell you
on the paper, you're smart.
Until somebody tell you you're going to be special.
Yeah.
Until somebody else tell you, I see something in you. Until some school say you're smart. We're always taught to look externally. Maybe that's the problem.
It's definitely part of it. So then line this up with, because what I think about with slavery on the other end of slavery and other issues of oppression, when I think about God or God energy or whatever you need to call it for yourself, that in the midst of this system in which there is no external affirmation, the only affirmation is if you are a good slave, there's still something that's stirring in folks that goes, nah, I'm running.
Right.
Or nah, next time I'm making dinner, we going, you know what I mean?
Right.
So there is this other thing that I would call God's continued involvement, not mighty hand comes down on Sussex plantations, but still allows something to sustain in the spirit of a slave that can't
like
get all the way
right.
broken.
Yeah, this isn't right.
For a woman in a culture that's told her for years, your place as a good woman is just to keep your butt in the kitchen and cook. But then women still go, something ain't, I don't feel right. Or yeah. or to be porn American, have somebody say to you, hey, homeless guy, tough break. I guess that's where you're supposed to be. Like, you know, something in the spirit stirs, and there's so much else outside of us in life that's always trying to beat that thing down. So but, not just that the God that spoke all this into being equips us to have the mind and whatever will we need to get through that 8 years, but also puts in us the imagination to go, not only do I want that, but I can get that.
Yeah.
Because if you don't think you can get it, you don't bother to put the time
in. But everybody don't. That's what makes you special.
Yeah.
That's what makes you special, and that's what makes me different or special.
Yeah.
Is because everybody don't have
that. Oh, so we special, but you different or special. Okay. Yeah. You still think you're better than somebody.
Yeah, see?
It's the tie. It's the tie. No, look. Everybody don't have that spark for whatever reason.
I think
we don't
we're all
why.
Born with like, it. I think it's the degree to how well the system either beats it out of you or not. It depends on what else is in your equation as far as relationships and inputs. But I think the system's designed to program it out of you.
So how did we break out of the matrix then? Is the
because
question.
There's this something. I think there's this something that drives us. And if it's part of your culture heritage.
I agree.
For example, I know this dude's mama. And the theme of her life is whatever the world's trying to tell her, she ain't about it.
Yeah.
Just because you told me.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, if you say I'm supposed to go around, I might go left just to make the point. I come from that kind of background that in addition to whatever else the world's telling me that says you're more than you're more than. Some of us had that growing up. Some of us had that from other external influences that never quite gets off our back.
Right.
Some folks don't have that. Some folks, I would dare say,
have the exact opposite.
Yeah. Here comes
saying you're less than.
Here comes trouble.
We got a really really good question from Ralph online, and we appreciate you, Ralph.
I'm gonna talk about that dynamic and privilege though.
Ralph has a because I wanted to get this question because it was sort of in line. But before we move on, because you know we skip on fast.
Yeah.
Ralph again, everybody out there listening has a dope podcast online, the Ralph Williams podcast. But his question was, without looking for external validation, how do you know if what you're doing is right or wrong? And we got a caller coming in. Caller, for those that somebody's trying to call, we'll get you a call in a second. We're going to answer this question first. So how do you know if what you're doing is right or wrong if somebody externally doesn't tell you?
All right, let's go ahead and take the – we got stuff to catch, but let's go ahead and take the right turn and follow that because that's an interesting phase. If you don't have
– Is that not based off of your core values or your same thing, like just knowing what's right and wrong, what feels good, what doesn't, you know? I mean, that's what it seems like to me is you get into the mode where, you know, you can't tell me anything.
Right.
I know this is what it is, right?
Yeah.
And then there's other times when you're second guessing, that may be when you do need a little assurance from someone.
My thing,
but I really think it's based off of what's inside you. Like,
but he's saying,
how do you know you're right? I don't know that you know.
My thing is this:
how you know you're right if someone does give you external affirmation.
That's,
you
that's
still
my
don't
thing.
Know.
That's my thing. Like right. To Ralph, I know you listen. This is my thing. How do I know that the person who is in charge of making the decisions well, about right or wrong?
Yeah.
How do I know that they're not a pervert? How do I know that they're not skewed?
Yeah.
How do I know that they don't have an agenda?
Right.
How do I know that they have life right?
You don't.
Who is it that sort of crowned or king this person, the know-all be-all of whatever it is to be
yeah.
smart or intelligent or beautiful or fast or worthy or whatever the case may be? Like, who are they? And just because
yeah.
what they so a part of what we do is we crown people as king because whatever they did it worked, so obviously they know something,
right?
You know what I'm saying?
Or the system told us this is your next person. Yeah. Part of that, I think the question the drive in us without thinking it through sometimes is when that person tells me what to do, my deep down response may have to do with whether I think that person is right or wrong, or it may get short-circuited by when I do what this person tells me to do, I keep my space in the group. You know what I mean? So when I follow, because this goes back to our initial conversation, if the external messages of my church, my party, my family, my neighborhood, my state, whatever it is, my university, whatever we're talking about, mm-hmm. tell me, hey, this is your next best move, then I've got to work with, if I don't do what they told me to do, even benevolently,
yeah.
Now I've got to deal with potentially their disapproval.
Some sort of backlash. Yeah.
And now my belonging and acceptance could very well be at risk.
Yeah.
And so I wonder, when we ask this question about needing external input to know if we're right or wrong, I think as we're saying that, we're really thinking about the same time as our concern still about, I don't want to upset this group. I don't want to risk my belonging in that group. But your point is very valid. Even if I get external affirmation, I don't know if they're right.
Yeah. My thing is,
now, unless my external affirmation, if my question is it smarter not to like smack into a wall and I run into the wall and the external affirmation of the wall is that it hurt, that's a whole different thing. But people, you have no way to know.
That's a good point. And that's how I figure out for me if I'm coming up on something new, how do I figure if it's right or wrong?
Yeah.
It's like relationships. I tell people all the time in relationships, relationships aren't about love. Love has nothing to do with the relationship. Mm. Relationships are about, is this healthy? Is this functional? Is this healthy? Can I grow? Can I help my partner grow? Is it functional and healthy? Just because you love somebody don't mean y'all need to be in a relationship.
Right.
The question is the situation healthy and functional? So when it comes
that's
to consciousness,
because I think it raises the question, whether or not that's what love is, but what should love actually be?
Because maybe we need to tie love and spirituality and all that stuff together. So
yeah.
We need to deal with that on here as well.
Yeah.
But my thing is, when I come across something new, I'm asking myself, how do I know if it's right or wrong? Does it move me? Does it drive me? Does it make me want to be kind to people?
Yeah.
Does it put me in a position to help, to want the other people in my life to grow? Does it help us all grow and evolve? You know what I'm saying?
Which other people? Our people? That's the culture struggle.
Oh, and that's
yeah.
Whoever.
We got a long one on there. What's that?
Whoever. And again, Raph online, Raph's response was, for me, it's not a tape. It's not a tape on what's right or it's not a take on what's right or wrong. For me personally, I would like he would like to use the Bible. But what I'm talking about is a certain skills or profession. How do you know when to hang up when you're not doing the right thing in your profession?
If you're aware you're not doing the right thing in your profession, then that would be you when you hang up. I think some folks weigh out, is it the right thing versus, this is an interesting thought, maybe it is working, but is it doing damage to your soul? Because I don't know if he means right or wrong by just wrong choice or something that he's morally in conflict with. But sometimes when we use that measure of is it working, you've got to clear up your rubric. Because maybe it's working because he's a paycheck coming, but I can't sleep at night, or I'm having to medicate with something chemical or entertainment wise or some other or food wise or something because it's eating at me. So I'm not sure where he really wants to go with that.
That is so dope. Check it out. So my son plays basketball, okay, and we're working on fixing his shot, mm-hmm. his jump shot. So he's shooting. And he's draining them. We at the Y, and he's killing it. He's killing it. He's killing it. And I'm like, that's ugly. That's ugly. That's wrong. That's wrong. That's ugly. That's wrong. And he's like, man, you killing me. He said, man, you killing me, bro. You killing me. He said, and he looks at me, and check this out, Raph. No, check this out. He goes, but I'm making them. And I said, son, it's not always about the end result. It's about the process.
Yeah.
I said, I could throw them, but suppose I could make 10 in a row, throwing them backwards or between my legs.
Yeah.
It's not about the outcome. Life is about the process. Are you doing it right? I said, in everything in life, I taught him, and I teach them this all the time. Everything that you do in life, focus on doing the right process. Don't worry about the end result. As long as you know that you did the right thing,
right.
A good result will come of it.
Yeah.
So I said, so what we do is we spend hours in the gym, him just working on form. I don't care if you make
a
shot.
Look at the basket. Work on the form.
It's not about the shot. I said, good form will result in a good product.
I forget who said this. I'm just saying that so as y'all don't think I came up with this phrase, but the phrase always stuck with me, the idea of a virtue in form as opposed to virtue in outcome.
Yeah.
That's the concept of that, something that's always stuck with me. The idea of practicing virtue in form,
and whatever it is,
right,
whatever you're doing, have good form.
Yeah.
Make sure you're doing the right thing, and maybe not now, but eventually, something good will come of because you put all the right pieces together. Don't just worry about the outcome. Like I grew up with a whole lot of cats that did a whole lot of unsavory things to make bread.
Yeah.
You know, And again, the outcome is good.
Yeah.
But it's the process. And to some people, the process don't matter.
Right.
Right. It's all about the outcome.
It's all about the outcome. It don't matter who I step on. It doesn't matter. It's just like.
And I would know it's a reality, depending on where you come up.
I'm just saying, one of the old, and I know you've heard it, my baby's got to eat, homie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So 100 times
I've
heard.
Whatever happens, my kids have to eat. Well, yeah. My kids.
Right.
Yeah. And again, the question is at what cost?
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
Either way,
how do I explain to my kids they're hungry? Because my kids ain't going to congratulate me because I made sure that I used virtue in form and however I dealt with my life. So and so's kids are eating.
And Ralph said, as long as you keep your consciousness clean. And that's true.
Yeah.
But the process has to mean something to you. But again, that's another question of consciousness. Does it matter to you? Do you feel connected to other people around you?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And we aren't taught to feel connected to other people around us. We aren't taught to feel that it matters that I hurt the person next to me to gain something that I want. Because we grew up in, but that's a part of our culture. That's society. Like our society teaches us.
We're doing both at the same time, and the wavelengths don't match up. The individuality, me first, or my squad first, or my family first, whatever it is. But then at the same time, we still have this drive for belonging and acceptance.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't make them both work.
I don't know if it's belonging and acceptance is in so much as control.
It could be security, because I may not want control. You know, some of the animals in a herd of buffalo, they don't want to run it. They just want to know that when the wolf comes, they got odds.
Gotcha. Right, right.
Or at least I know that we're taking turns. Somebody's looking up. When my shift comes, I'll take my shift. I may not want control. I just want security and safety. And that's the person that hands their soul over, their vote over, their allegiance over to whatever system, education, economic, religious, whatever. Because I just want to know I got a safe spot to land. But at the same time, because the dynamic between us is not relational, I'm always insecure in that dynamic. Now, if we were secure in our relations, then I could self-differentiate. I could come to you and talk about whatever and not be afraid of losing my belonging. Because we're relating as two individuals relating as opposed to two folks who are in the hive, so to speak.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
And thanks again for the gift, Ralph. We appreciate it.
Yeah, man.
So, but backtracking to the original question. You learn something new. You take it back to your family. You take it back to your friends. And they reject it.
They reject you. That's the stress.
They reject
the
ideas, and then they reject you.
Because you shaking up the house, man. We just made this bed. We just set the table, and you bringing new silverware. I don't want to do all that.
It's a scary thing, man.
It can be a very lonely thing.
It's scary for the person bringing the idea, and I understand. I'm the oddball in my family.
Yeah.
Okay. Everything out of whack. If you can think of it out of whack, I've done it. You know what I'm saying? I brought home people that didn't look like me. I brought home religious ideas that ain't like ours. Like,
everybody worried about Keelan coming for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
What's he gonna do this year?
Oh, he come talking that old smart shit. He go, like, you know what I'm saying? But like anytime, like my thing is, has always been,
that's a good thing, man.
I want to grow.
You know what I mean? That's a good thing.
But the only reason that's a good thing to you is because we are alike. Because we're all constantly seeking growth and evolution.
Yeah.
And we all understand that life is complicated, and we only grew up with bits and pieces, and the three of us, we're constantly trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
And I think for a lot of people out there, there is it's easy to get comfortable. The only thing, and that's why I said, I think that this is whatever God or the universe is, trials and tribulations are a part of life. You got to go through something to grow.
Yeah.
The only way that people gonna give up something is when stuff get hard. When shit get hard, then all of a sudden, when stuff gets really hard, and whatever your consciousness or your God or whatever it is don't work, then and only then will you start looking for something else.
Yeah.
I think.
Or fold up. It depends on how ingrained the system is in you. I guess to some folks may just surrender and not go, I gotta figure something else out. They just go, I must have really failed this thing, so I'm just out.
And what's amazing is, like I said, slaves 400 years kept praying to Jesus.
Yeah.
Kept on.
Kept praying.
They saw people's foot get cut off. They saw people molested and used and abused.
But then we kept having people that didn't just pray. And this is your point, that along the way there were a lot that just prayed, but then there are also a lot who
actively worked against.
Yeah, I'm running.
System.
I'm gonna go meet John Brown. We're gonna make something happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I'll see you at the fort. We're gonna light this thing up. Yeah. Or you know, there are cases where you know, yeah, Mass, I'll make you dinner.
But that's where you start.
Family don't rise in the morning, but
like yeah. you have your own little clan now. So, if you give them the information you were trying to give the older people, the people your age, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
With your children, and you can start instilling things in them to where now it doesn't sound crazy anymore.
Yeah.
It sounds like common sense. It sounds like it's okay to be smart.
That's normal.
It's
yeah.
You know what I mean? It becomes normal, but it is one of those things where it's like one at a time, you know, you can only reach so many people, you know. Obviously you can, you know, educating and things of that nature, like you can reach multiple people at one time, but it starts there to people that are still willing to hear ideas.
Yeah.
There are, you know, the older you get, what they call it, stuck in your ways.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and the same thing you say, it's not broke, I don't want to fix it.
Yeah.
But it really is broke, you just don't acknowledge it.
If you want me to look back now after 50 years of living and knowledge I had something wrong, no thanks.
Right.
You're right. Don't bother me with that. I often say it's one of the, I think about the fact that it's one of the best and worst things I did for my daughter, that we did for our daughter, trying to make her be a critical thinker, because it has often left her on the outside of her own generation looking in sometimes, because they're just caught up in the Mass way of thinking, and she's the one in the social media group that goes, yeah, but, and then everybody's like, oh, you know, so you get dumped on because you don't just go along with.
Yeah.
And so on some level, I can appreciate that, man, if I just taught her to just conform and just go along, you know, she'd be ignorance is bliss. But at some point, but I never wanted her to get caught up in or carried away in just that hive mind mentality. Because what that mentality typically does to everybody who's not in control is it keeps a thumb on you. It keeps a thumb on you. It keeps you down because you got to stay down so I can stay up here.
Before I forget this, and then we'll get to Ralph got another question online. I always refer back to Molif Asante. Molif Asante wrote a book called Race, Rhetoric, and Identity years ago. And he said, how do a part of nation building, he was talking about nation building. You got people of different cultures, different faiths, different ideas. How do you get everybody on the same page? I can't have everybody doing what they want to do.
Right.
And it's not an American thing. This is a nation building thing. Yeah. All over the world, this is the mentality of just nations.
Yeah. Governments of nations.
Of just governments of nations, not just America.
That's what the problem is. So your control group has the mentality.
Yeah. So it's just like, I can't have everybody doing what they want to do because I got different race, different cultures, different religions.
Yeah.
I have to figure out a way to bind. I have to find a common theme to bind these people. So.
Actually, no. I don't even want you bound together. I just need you distracted. Divided might be helpful to me. I need you distracted, entertained, controlled. I really don't want you bound together.
Well, to some degree. Maybe
I mean, honestly. Yeah.
No, black people share something in common. White people share something in common. But there are points that you want your masses
to agree
on. You can't have everybody doing their own thing.
Yeah.
Okay? Scottish, Polish, and Irish people was coming here. Okay?
Yeah.
And those that don't know their story, they got their ass kicked when they got here. Oh, Scottish, Polish, Irish people, Hungarians, they got it from other white folks.
Yeah.
So
whichever white person got here before you.
White Anglo-Saxon Protestants was like, man, we can't kick these people out of here.
Right.
So we're going to send them to school to give them our goals, values, and beliefs.
Yeah.
And you know what? Y'all crazy white folks from over there on that boat, I don't like y'all and y'all don't like me. But these black folks, when they get free, they're going to mess it up to everybody.
Right.
Common purpose.
Yeah.
So then.
We already killed all Native Americans. We got to find somebody else to pick at.
So then black folks. Okay, look, black people. Then white people said, look, black people, I don't like you. You don't like me. These Mexicans, they jump in the border, they're gonna take your jobs.
Yeah.
Common purpose.
Yeah.
Now we're bound together. Okay, black people, white people, Hispanic people. I don't like none of y'all. None of y'all don't like me. But man, these Arabs,
yeah,
they fly in planes into these buildings.
Yeah.
So this idea of there has to be some sort of common thing to join people, because there comes a point that everybody gets relaxed, everybody starts searching, and everybody starts doing their own thing. We can't everybody doing their own thing.
But
so
what happens?
It's a part of religion to have people kind of bound. And when you come in with a new idea, we can't have everybody just free thinking all over the place.
Yeah.
Religion is something that continues to keep people bound, that they don't want to get out of their boxes.
Well, but see, what you're talking about is not, well, it is a religion that we don't talk about. It's a religion of racism.
Okay.
Because the grounds these different groups are using in these racial ramparts is not religious, it's social.
Yeah.
It's fear. Still religion. Yeah. Still, there's still a faith that whatever group is on the inside is better than the group on the outside. And what I think is fascinating about the whole dynamic of the history of race and prejudice in general, discrimination, is how the last group that gets offered the assimilation deal typically is just so happy to finally get assimilated. They can't identify with the next group that the bigger group is offering to put the foot on.
Right.
As long as you can get the foot off my neck,
that's a
deal.
Please put it on somebody else.
Yeah, deal.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. That's a dynamic that I don't know. We'd have to think that through, I guess. Because my thing when we were younger and we started to hear more heat about Hispanics and Mexicans and immigrants, my first thought was, when I'm hearing all this doom and gloom, like, this is what y'all say about us. Why am I signing on with you with the thing that you sold somebody else on about me?
Yeah.
But most folks don't stop for that pause.
Yeah.
They just jump on.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
I think that in Space Force, Ralph said Space Force. another good question he asked is, how do you know when to step in and tell somebody older, an older person is struggling with things?
I hit 70. I let him ride. I mean, real talk. If you 80 years old and you still calling folks color folk, I ain't got no time.
Or it's just, again, I think what's happening, especially with consciousness and spirituality, there's a new wave of something about the way with which this new generation is more accepting of different religions, different faiths. They think about consciousness very differently.
Their awareness
and their the way that they understand their connection to the world and everybody else is so vastly different.
Yeah.
Okay, my son can't come to my mama with that, with his grandmama with
that.
His grandmama ain't trying to hear that.
Right.
Like you said, there just comes a point that it's kind of like, all your life, you've been told that trees have leaves and bark and grow out of the ground.
Yeah.
And then after 40 years or 50 years, I walk up to you and say, you know what? They lied to you. That ain't a tree. That's a hammer.
Yeah.
You're going to look at me like I'm crazy. Because for the last 40 years, you've called that thing that grows out of the ground with leaves a tree.
Yeah.
So the longer you have an idea, the longer you hold on to an idea, the harder it is to change.
Yeah.
So that's why when it comes to race or culture or consciousness or God or spirituality, it's easy to change little kids. That's why I like your point about what did you say? When your kids, you start with your kids, it becomes a part of their norm.
Right.
Their thinking become more flexible. With older people, they've held on to the idea that this is a tree, that this is God, that this is how spirituality works, that this is how life works. They've had those years for 60 years.
Yeah.
The same way it would be, you couldn't walk up to them and tell them that's not a tree, that's a hammer. It's the same concept that you can't change their God.
Yeah.
You can't change their spirituality. You can't change their same level of thinking.
That's not a devil, it's just a white guy.
Yeah. it's
that's not a murderer, it's just a black guy.
I don't know if that's a that's not a spirituality or religious or a conscious thing. That's just a cognitive thing. That's a psychological cognitive thing.
Well, and that's the thing. We don't want to pick on folks over 60. We'll get there soon enough. Because there are people in every age group, every generation, who have had the opportunity to be invited into, at somewhere in their educational process or their grown-up process, invited into, this sounds so uppity, but the discipline of critical thinking.
Yeah,
when you have that as a part of your cognitive world, then when you tell me it's a hammer, I might go, that's absurd. But yes, anyway, I'm just going to check. But a lot of folks in our educational system, increasingly, I'm afraid. Mm-hmm. Of course, that's just my cynicism because I guess I'm getting old. increasingly, the practice of critical thinking does not enter in. I will tell you what I want you to know. You will tell it back to me. If you do that, you get an A.
I got it.
Yeah.
I figured it out. It matters who, the reason it matters who's telling me that that tree is a hammer.
Yeah.
If that person is someone famous, if that person is somebody noted, maybe right. they have credibility.
Right.
You just Jason. Yeah. Man, I remember you when you was running around here and we was changing right. your, you ain't nobody. Yeah. No matter how much you achieve, no matter how, well, no matter what you learn, you to just me, like, wow. you just little Joe that was running around the
hey,
house.
What,
I'm just, you just little Keelan, snotty nose Keelan. That's how my family look at me. No matter what I do, no matter how many degrees I get, no matter what I do, I go home and my folks are like, man, if you don't shut up talking to me, man. Man, you was running around the corner with me when you was 15 too. Like, no matter what I do or how much I've achieved, I'm just that dude from the block.
Well, you're not allowed to change.
Yeah, right. You know, I remember you used to be scared to fight with us, boy. Shut up talking to me. Like, no matter what I do, you're not a, they see, like yeah. you said it before once, people see you as the way you were. They never see your yeah. evolution. They never see you how you are or who you've yeah. become. They will always see you how you Absolutely. Are. I was telling him, I talked to a girl that I had dated 20 years ago, and she was still mad, bro. She still talked to me like I was some 16-year-old kid that cheated right. on her in high school when right. I was 15 years old. Right. Like, she was talking to me like
so
that.
She just hit
like,
pause. She hit closer.
Yeah.
She's been on pause for 20 years.
That's crazy how people will see you
yeah.
as the way that they've known you right. or experienced you when you was growing up. And I'm like, I'm right. a grown man now. Like, it's right. been 25 years. I would never do anything like that. I was a child. You know what I'm saying? Right. But
yeah.
when you come home with new information, oh, that's just Jason. That's yeah. just that's just Doc. He ain't really talking about. But if the, but if somebody else outside who is superior, or if the right. Pope say it, or if somebody that has status says it,
yeah.
maybe and that somebody has status that they respect. If Obama, somebody that they respect say it,
yeah.
they can say the same thing you said. All yeah. of a sudden, it has validity now.
Yeah, if I'd have said, you know, you should wash your hands of the coronavirus, like, yeah, okay. But Obama puts a post out on Twitter, and all of a sudden, everybody wash their hands. Yeah. But you also said something else in the midst of that, which
and
I think
you
is
should
interesting.
Wash your hands.
Yeah, you should wash your hands. Doc says so. Part of your indictment in that example, and why is this an indictment? Why is it a disqualifier for people to think this way? Is whatever thing you tried to bring, my indictment against you, my dismissal of you was, you're just like me.
Exactly.
What does that say about where our heads are at?
Right, right.
You know what I mean? That
Man,
that
that's
dope. So
yeah.
I'm saying I don't qualify to think about this stuff.
So what and makes you, you and you just
yeah,
like me?
You
so what
just
makes
like
you
me.
Qualified
yeah.
to come
Who
up
are
with
you?
Some new idea.
Right.
Exactly.
Or
Who
new
are you?
So what does that say about what
we're
what,
from the same place, homie?
Yeah.
So you what know? Does that say about our way of thinking about ourselves that to compare you to me makes you disqualified? You know what I mean? What is that? I don't have an answer to that. I heard that as you were talking, I thought, man, that we do that. We do that all the time.
I wonder.
I want to get
how much of it is our how much of and then how much of that experience is when people do leave our tribe and learn something different or learn something new and achieve, they don't come back, or when they come back and they turn our noses up.
Yeah.
They turn their noses up at us.
Yeah.
Make us feel bad. You know, because
well, yeah,
we're
some
still
folks
here
do,
and
do
they
that,
aren't.
They get extra instead of trying to come back and try to elevate. They do just come back extra. That happens. It happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of it is.
I didn't come to elevate. I came to look down. Yeah, it's two different. That's two yeah. different modes. Yeah.
I don't. I know that tribes and groups can never grow and never change and never evolve if we aren't willing to hear something new. But I think that religion and spirituality is so very different than anything else, because the consequences of being wrong are so devastating.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I don't know, this whole eternal damnation.
Nah,
or,
real world. Real
or
world.
Sitting in, you may go to purgatory,
yeah.
or you may be reincarnated as a dung beetle, or
right.
whatever. You know right. what I'm saying? Like, it's so hard to break away from what we believe when it comes to religion and spirituality, because man. Just the byproducts of being wrong. Who want to be wrong?
Yeah.
Right. I've heard people say, if you don't, I've heard preachers say, if you don't believe in God, I mean, what you got to lose? I'm like, that's the wrong reason to believe
right.
in God.
Right.
What you got to lose? I mean, at least just say you believe so you can go to heaven. I'm like, no, that's again, focusing on the outcome yeah. and not the process.
The presentation of that was wrong. He was right for the simple fact, like, what do you have to lose? Not necessarily believing in God, but being kind, being
yeah.
being good.
Yeah, if you just die flat like, out, you won't regret it.
Like, that's part dead. I'm with. You know?
Yeah. That would have sold me.
At the same thing, it's like if I have to threaten you with eternal damnation for you to be nice, you're too far gone already.
Like, yeah, it's like, what yeah. kind of God is that?
Like, yeah, who does that? Like, you have to...
If you present by that picture of God, you can't blame an atheist for popping up.
It's probably you know? How I was raised, though. It's like, it's you just should be kind to people if you can.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You
yeah.
know? And I also know sometimes that's... It's just not the move.
That's
know?
A challenge. That's a challenge. Yeah.
I learned that later in life. You yeah. know what I mean? That sometimes something has to go down. You know?
Yeah. yeah.
But for the most part, I'm always the one... Stall him out, man. Let's see if we can't fix this, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
It's, you know.
But and again, but does a lot of that come with experience? Does a lot of that come with age? With Absolutely. Age and experience comes yeah. wisdom, and you see the world differently.
Yeah.
Like when I was a youngin', I was quick to, now I'm like, go get him. Let's talk this out.
Right.
Because we understand the consequences of not thinking about and considering all angles,
right.
all yeah. perspectives. We know the consequences yeah. of not being flexible in our thinking.
Right. Yeah, I might be right.
Like, what's going to happen tomorrow?
Yeah.
Like, I know exactly. what's about to happen today.
Yeah, it's not a 2-hour movie. It's going to, yeah,
this
tomorrow.
Can change the rest of our life, depending honestly. On how we react to this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I always find this kind of conversation interesting in relation to religion, because of the way, and whether it's Christianity or Islam or whatever, the way that when you look at how institutions present a discipline of faith, it very often is very different from what that founder or that initial document or whatever it is talks about. Because, for example, the example you used about how the preacher was like, what do you got to lose? Just believe in him. And you know, that's not the kind of God that Jesus actually talks about. He talks about this God who's about, no, you've got to actually walk this out. You got to walk this out through some kindness. There's got to be some virtue in your form. You can't just say, is he listening?
Yeah.
I believe.
Right.
Okay, I'm on the list. No, or you can't just go, I'm scared as hell, so I'll just say it so I don't get beat. It was never meant to be about any of that. But those are things we insert because of what institutions want to gain out of the people.
Yeah.
And so the real crisis comes in anything altruistic, democracy, whatever it is, when people get a handle on it and go, how can I work this for me?
Right.
And then that's when everything goes south.
That down, Joe. We got to go back there next week.
How can I work this for me?
Yeah.
We always do this, and then we get on some whole new $50 thing the next week. But the last thing I wanted to talk about before we lost the time, because one thing that we haven't talked about is the scenario of being the self-differentiated person when you're already in the space of privilege. Hmm. That's a whole different pressure because, like you said, for me in my yard, if it's not delusion, everything really is good. It's right. good. But I'm seeing that it's not right. Like your man Ralph was saying, I'm seeing it's not more. I'm seeing the harm it's doing to someone else, either by way of neglect or by direct harm. Do I give it up? Is that a call?
Mm-mm.
Oh,
that's
so. Do I really like take on my privileged circle in which I've had so much privilege and prestige, or do I just
let it ride
and fold my hands because it will do me no harm whatsoever if
to,
I don't
to remain.
Yeah.
Stagnant, quiet, whatever you want to call
yeah,
it. Like, I don't have to stir this pot.
Nah, I can sell out to the group I'm already in. I'm not even selling out to get into something new, but I'm already in it. I'm the Italian who's now a white American. I don't have to talk about how I understand what we're doing to black people because it did to me. I don't have to do that.
I made it, so to speak.
I made it. I'm good. Excuse my language. I'm the house nigga. It's okay.
Man.
So when I hear the dudes out on the yard kind of whispering and talking, do I keep that to myself or do I?
I mean, like, I have the ability to poison master.
Yeah.
But do I really want to take it there?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm in good. I don't have
I'm
to.
I'm okay. I got to go on a run and be in the woods. I'm.
I got a bed.
Yeah. Or to be the white person up in the north or in the south. I can be the master and go, this ain't right. But dang, I got umpteen acres of cotton I got to get worked. And if I try to tell these other slave owners what to do sharecropping instead, they'll just lynch me right with the black folks I own. So I'm going to bed.
the issue, man.
Or if I'm Harriet Tubman, I'm saying, I got free.
I'm in the system.
I don't have to go back.
I don't have to go back. Nobody would fault me for not going back. I can sit up here and tour the North and tell them all the horrors of slavery and get paid by white abolitionists the rest of my life. I don't have to do. And so that's a whole different strain that I think people have to deal with.
The issue of I am in the system and things are good, but I know that something is wrong.
Yeah. Right.
Or I know that something we're teaching isn't necessarily right.
Right.
But it's not affecting my status, so why? Yeah. Why even?
And if I say something, it might affect my status.
Right.
Yeah. So are you willing? And this is the real. Let me not co-opt this for my particular faith. This is the real undercurrent, I think, of most religious traditions, is a calling to do exactly that. A challenge to do exactly that, to be in the system, to be in the comfortable place, and to be the one that takes a chance of flipping the table over.
Right.
Because every system, Buddhism, etc., it promotes this idea of self-denial. And we want to talk about not eating food, but denying oneself one's place of privilege because you know it's faulty. Denying oneself one place of power because you know it's faulty.
So how do you deal with that?
You suck it up and do it, or you fold. I guess that's the
because
that's the end of the day, man.
If I'm in that position, what I do? Let's say I work somewhere, or I'm somewhere, and I know I'm in the system and I'm good.
Yeah.
And I know I don't agree with the way things are being done or the way things are being ran. If I flip the table over and I try to send out a new consciousness or I try to help people, I'm going to get fired.
Yeah. But so if I do it one at a time on the low.
So do I stay in the system?
Yeah.
And slowly feel people out who has a level of consciousness not doing, say, hey, let me help you do this. Let me help you do this. And I try to stay within the system and help those that I can.
Yeah,
do I completely flip the table over? Like some people are kind of like you said, man, I can't deal with this.
Right.
This is all wrong.
Yeah.
And then what happens is you get crucified.
Right.
Or they fire you and then nobody in the system get help again.
Right.
So do you stay on the low, stay in the system?
Yeah.
And so try to play the game.
They call it a double-edged dagger.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's, I guess it would depend on the situation, obviously. You know what I mean? Like, if it's something as simple as you get fired and you're no longer able to help anyone.
Right.
Yeah.
But then there are certain people, they can't be fired, like, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, there's nothing you can say to me. There's nothing you can do to me. Bills still get paid.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's no real risk, so to speak. But. And then I think it's easier to speak out to the mass when there's really no threat, you know, of.
Every once in a while you get that person. But every once in a while you get that person. Yeah.
Systems always make sure that there is threat and consequence.
The unfortunate thing is like with the presidential campaign or any kind of campaign for leaders, they'll always tell you in the campaign, I'm that person. Right. I'm that person. And they might be, or they may get in the system and go, oh, I still got to play ball with people.
Right.
Yeah.
They knew I did that back in.
You don't realize how big any system is until you get in it.
Yeah.
Everybody
yeah.
talk all that stuff. And then when the president has his first briefing that week.
Exactly.
Then he goes, oh, okay, this was really happening.
Yeah.
So that's why people talk all that trash on the campaign and then they get it and there's certain things that they do nothing about
and
you go, oh, they're all liars. No. They just, you don't find out what the business is until you
right.
They might have meant well.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's not like, you know, especially the president. It's not the king. Like it's just
not the
whatever
king.
He says goes. It's
you got a whole other branch system. You gotta run through. Yeah.
A whole system.
Yeah.
You gotta, as you say, you gotta play ball. There's supposed to be checks and balances, you know.
Yeah.
But
I think, and amongst a lot of the things that people may not like about President Trump, I think on a general level, something that makes everybody, no matter what your political affiliation, uncomfortable about him is he doesn't play ball the way that people generally play ball.
No.
Like, He'll say anything or do anything, and we've never seen a president.
Right.
I'm not talking about whether you agree with what he said. Right.
Nah.
We've just never seen a person that don't yeah. like. They're like, what is he doing? He's supposed to be playing ball, and he right. ain't playing ball the way we you yeah. the way we get him all to play ball.
Yeah, we just had an advisor meeting. We told him to say these three things, and now he, yeah. It's, you have no idea what you're going to get on that camera.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that's a larger part of why everybody just feels uncomfortable about it, because you don't know what this dude going to do.
Yeah.
You don't know what he going to say. You don't know how he going to say it.
Yeah.
He's not playing ball the way he's supposed to play ball.
Nah.
And he's one of these dudes that generally don't care because, bro, I got bread.
Yeah.
I'm going to go, well, if this is, like you said, when you don't care.
I ain't hungry if I lose this next election. Okay, so yeah, he okay.
What he like, what they going to do?
Right.
They going to take my birthday? I'm going to go back and I'm going to run Trump Town. I'm going to make this money.
Right.
And I'm going to keep making my investments. So I really don't have nothing to lose. Yeah. I'm here.
It's a hobby.
When you got somebody that doesn't have those type of shackles on them, they're going to be more willing to take risk, to stay what they got to say, to do what they want to do. And he like, you going to impeach me? Okay, fine. Well, go ahead. Ain't nobody finna run impeach me then. Something.
Right.
He like, that's what it is. Because if at the end of the day, what you going to do? Fire me? You're not finna lock me up.
But even for Donald Trump, if you watch his pattern, there's still a somebody, a some group, that rally group, or somebody he still needs the approval of. Now they throw it to him without qualification, but he, some of the things he does, you can see as real easy moves that appease this group.
Yeah.
That he is, he's, well, I guess I shouldn't overcomment on things I don't know about in full, but there's still a very clear drive for him about approval, because he can't take anybody else getting any attention of any kind without putting his foot in there.
I
don't know. I can't really go too far, but I know, I hate feeling like I'm smarter than the president. I've never really felt like that, you know.
He's like, what I do
maybe,
now.
Maybe
that's why they like him. Maybe everybody likes him. Just they fuck that.
But the truth.
If your friend talk to you like Trump talks.
Oh, I'd smack you.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Do you even know? You don't even know what you're talking about, man. Get out of.
Yeah.
But that's a part of how people get elected. And especially that was a main theme of George W. Bush when he got elected. People felt connected to him because he felt like an uncle or a cousin or somebody I could sit.
Yeah.
What they say, somebody I could sit down and have a beer with.
Yeah.
Like, right. And I think that's a part of the thing, is to seem normal.
Yeah.
You know, like when Kamala Harris came out, she was like, yeah, I smoke weed and I listen to rap. Like, it's trying to connect with people to make people feel like you're not above them, but you're normal.
Yeah.
People will vote for somebody or they will lean someone's way when they feel like this person is like me. That's why they say whenever an actor or a celebrity or movie star, whenever you make a mistake, the first thing you should do is come out and say you did it and say I'm sorry. Because what that does is that makes people think, oh, wow, he's a human, she's a human, they're just like me. And it actually makes their approval ratings go up.
Yeah, if you own it, yeah.
If you just own it, it makes people feel like, wow, they're people too, just like us. So.
But the problem is, we the people don't really run and bank fund and hold the halls of power that run election campaigns.
Well,
so how do I look like you and look like the person I know good and well in New Hampshire has to help me get on the ballot, who has five folks lobbying him in his pocket? You know, it's a mean game, man.
Again,
it's a mean game.
Write that down.
It's
That's
a mean
another
game.
Conversation, because it's like, I don't think that we believe. I think the hustle is for us to believe that we have control over what's happening. But we do. That's why we vote. That's why they say go out to vote, because we believe that our votes matter or our votes count, and that we believe that we're controlling this. That's a whole nother, Joe, that's a 2-hour segment that you just brought up.
Because, the vote matters for whoever gets through all the hoops
unless
and hurdles.
You're Weinstein.
Well, yeah.
That's Ralph.
But unless you get through all the hoops and hurdles to get to a place where the American people have a chance to vote for you. I got to play ball just to get my name on a ticket, to get to show up at a debate. So all that's – the Americans don't get to vote about who gets to come be at the debate. That's all stuff over my head.
Again.
One person at a time.
We ain't got time, Joe.
We ain't got time.
We ain't got time for that. Because, no, I agree with you. I'm not saying I agree with you, but that's so complicated. And then you say stuff like that, they'll call you a conspiracy theorist.
I may be. There's somewhere between critical thinking and conspiracy theory that actually makes sense. But anyway, I feel compelled to apologize to our audience today. We did not help you resolve the great conflict between becoming self-differentiated and trying to navigate the conflict that can create with your home group, be that family, neighborhood, state, political party, what have you. Maybe we'll revisit that side of the conversation. We're acknowledging it's hard to get woke and saying the same bit to folks you was with before you got woke. So then what? That's where
why
we got to stop.
Why would you say that before?
That's where we got to stop.
That?
Once you get woke, can you stay in the bed with the folks you was in bed with before you got woke? Do you hit the snooze alarm? Do you get up? Do you just, you know?
You try to wake them up.
But look, can we? I guess we have to pick it up next time.
Why would you say that before we get off, man?
It wasn't scheduled, man. Because it wasn't scheduled.
Hold on, next time. I don't know if that's it. It depends. It depends on what you woke on.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Now,
you're doing it now, just for the record, everybody. Keelan's doing it.
Like, I know.
I was ready to leave on that.
I know a couple that he's an atheist.
Yeah.
And she's a Christian.
I'm not talking about couples. I'm talking about community,
But just in general, I'm like, how do y'all do that if there is a mismatch in level of consciousness about the way you completely see and think about the world? How does that happen? So, again, you become woke, you get some new level of consciousness, some new level of spirituality.
Yeah.
Can I continue to hang? And that's why we said, that last conversation we said we wanted to have about, can you ride the fence? Can you be in the street and believe in God at the same time?
Yeah.
Or, like, does there come a point that you have to decide?
Right.
Either you gonna ride with consciousness and spirituality, can they coexist?
You gotta have a rule of life. What's it gonna be? You can't live your life out of two rules. But
I think that they can, but there's going to be some emotional and mental turmoil.
Absolutely.
And conflict that's there. The same way with, like, this couple that I know. You know, I know a couple that somebody's a Christian, somebody's a Buddhist. Somebody's a Christian and somebody's an atheist. They coexist and they're together, but there's always some sort of conflict they have to resolve with their kids.
Yeah.
Or they try as best as they can to be open. But when she come home and she's like, well, mommy took me to church today and we talked about X, Y, and Z. You'd be like, no, that shit ain't real.
Okay. Pass the potatoes. That's nice. That's nice, man.
That's where I talk about just be kind. Like, to give them the core values, because these other things.
That's great, baby.
You know what I mean?
Just pass the potatoes. Yeah.
my youngest son, his mother is a Jehovah's Witness, right?
Okay.
So they don't celebrate anything, you know?
Yeah.
Which I'm not real big on. Holidays, like, it doesn't really move me anyway, but a birthday,
right?
He can't even have a birthday.
Yeah,
wow.
And I'm like,
that's serious business.
And from what I understand, it's like, because you're putting yourself above God. I'm like, no, you're just happy to be alive.
It's
like,
a birthday.
You mean, I can't.
Yeah,
that's all it is. Like,
we ain't killing the calf. We just
It's okay to be to be happy that you are 1 year older. Like,
right.
Yeah.
And I try, you know, to not go against anything his mother is teaching him.
Yeah.
It's like, because at the end of the day, he's very sharp.
Yeah.
And so he's
yeah, that's
at
rough.
That age that he's going to start.
He's going to break mold things on his own.
Yeah. You know,
because that is not a thinking system.
Yeah. But
it's not an innovating system. This is it. This is. But if you want to innovate, you got to get out the door.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, he's kind. He's good to people.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm.
Ultimately,
that's
what matters.
Kid. Yeah.
I know I keep saying write this down, but I mean, maybe that's where we need to go back again, is this notion. Next time, maybe we can all come back to this notion, the idea of what do you do? Like, can you continue to function and live in an environment
can you live in compromise?
Yeah.
That's the question.
Yeah, that's dope.
That's the question.
That's dope.
All right.
All right, we're getting ready to get out of here again. This is Synergy. Dr. Henry, we got Pastor Joe Hill again. We had Mr. Moore, Jason Moore came in and visited us. Any parting shots before we get out of here?
Let me drop my back-end disclosure. Also, the ideas and conversation of the show is not reflective of any denomination or any particular congregation or church group or doctrine. It's just three brothers thinking about life, talking it through, trying to be open to the Spirit, whatever you want to call that, as it helps us to think through what it is to live. So, thank you for being with us. Ralph, appreciate the conversation, man. Hope to see y'all online with us next time, watching, messaging, calling. Look forward to sharing the conversation with you. This is something we want to be your conversation with us. We say it all the time. So be with us again. Jump in sometime. Thanks for being with us today.
Any parting shots, sir?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Again, thanks. And again, for those that are out there listening, the Ralph Williams Podcast is a dope podcast. You get a chance, check them out. A lot of good music, a lot of good conversation. So those out there, check him out. Please definitely check him out. Again, so just as a recap, our conversation today was just about consciousness. When you grow and you evolve mentally, emotionally, and from a conscious perspective, you know, what happens when you take that new level of consciousness or new level of spirituality to your family, to your friends, how do they react? How do they respond? Why do they, in some cases, reject it? And what do you do about that? How do you reconcile that? Okay. We came up with a lot of really good questions that we will probably try to address next week again. So typically we're on Friday, for those that are just catching on, typically we're on Fridays during the midday. We talked about maybe playing around with times just to, you know, catch a different audience. But you should, we will pre-post the show so you'll know what time we'll be on. We'll try again maybe next Friday around 11 or 12, something like that. Usually more around 11. As we always end the show by saying, again, you know, graveyards are full of regret and potential. There are people in the ground in graveyards with, they die with all the potential in the world and regrets. People I should have loved, people I could have loved. I wish I would have said, baby, don't go. And they died never having tried their dreams and their hopes and their wishes. So we always leave by encouraging everybody, make sure that the things that you're doing, you know, life is not about the outcome, as we talked about, life ain't about the outcome, life is about the process. Make sure that you are doing something or you're trying to do things that set your soul on fire. Make sure you're doing things that make you feel alive and that motivate you and that drive you. And the people in your life, no matter who they are, make sure that they know that you love them, because none of us are promised tomorrow. Absolutely, positively, none of us are promised tomorrow. So as we always say, do the things that set your soul on fire and make sure that the people who are in your life, make sure that they know that you love them. So again, as we always say, we thank you for joining us. For those that would like to send us questions, comments, or suggestions, you can email us at synergykhjh. That's synergy, synergy, khjh, synergykhjh @gmail.com. Again, thank you again, and peace and blessings to you.
Now I can sing you the storyline, and if you like my story, fine. But ain't none of the glory mine. See, my life was a lonely one, and I was dear mama's only son, with no idea what I'm gonna become. And I didn't have long to know that you don't have to be grown to go. I could have died so long before. Then I finally saw the sign, and I made it on down the line, one step at a time. I feel better, I can smile at it now, I feel better. Circumstances put soul in me, and there ain't no holding me. I've got a heart made of gold in me. Can you believe this is where I've been? And when adversity comes again, I'll deal with it then. I feel better, I can laugh at it now, I feel better.